If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. As you turn into the book of Joshua, I want to talk tonight about something that's unique. I really believe we're living in the time and the generation that God is saying that the final plans are being accomplished and finished. I learned when I first started out in the ministry, I preached my first message ever on January, the first week of January, 1976. I got born again Labor Day weekend, 1974. And in 1976, a pastor saw something in me that I did not see in myself. And I thank God for pastors. He said, there's a calling on your life. And I really didn't know what the word calling meant. And I said, no, I just want to help you here in the church. But he saw it and asked me if I would say something. And of course I did. And without sounding prideful or arrogant, the people loved it. But I just didn't like it at all. I said, I was nervous. I said, I don't know enough about the scripture. And the Lord said, well, all you got to do is fellowship with me and I'll teach you. In those days, the James Brown song, It's a Man's World, was true. Until Marilyn Hickey and George Myers just destroyed the whole thing. And then came Kathy DePlanis and Paula White and Lynn Hammond and Taffy Dollar and Gloria Copeland. And now we're begging to preach in their services, glory to God. It's no longer a man's world. And I'm so glad of that, because when God created you, He created male and female, created He them, not him, but them. And He called them, not him, Adam. And so He gave Eve a male name. Adam didn't like it and changed it to Eve. Many of you know this, and the word woman, a woman, a woe man, is man with womb. So a woman is not a second class citizen, never in the eyes of God, and should have never been in the eyes of man. Oh yeah, I'm shouting, but I'm preaching, but y'all shouting. And I've realized, because I've preached all over with some mighty powerful women like Darlene Bishop, I've been to their churches, and I've preached with most of them, and I mean, it's just really amazing to see what the Lord is doing. Then I realize that He is calling on them the same responsibility that He's called on us as men, that He doesn't see any gender. What God is interested in is destiny and destination. Now, to achieve both, you have to have something called strength and courage. The title of this message tonight is Strength and Courage Knows No Gender. Write it down. I want you to take notes. Strength and courage knows no gender. Because it's not a female issue or a male issue. It's a God issue. And God expects this thing to be wrapped up. And if you want to see the Bible in video or DVD, all you have to do is turn on Fox, ABC, CBS, CNN, and you can go to the pages of the Bible, and it's like as if they were wrote last night. Man's inhumanity to man is destroying the world. The morality has fallen further than anyone could conceive. Language now is at a point that people don't think they can talk right unless they cuss. We're giving 11 years old birth control pills without the permission of their parents. The government is coming in every way, shape, and form, literally all over the world, not just in one country. But in this country and a lot, we're seeing it to such a degree that the parent, and we're living in an unparented world. I heard Holly Gosford say that. So the government decides whether what your child should have or not have. But if I understand God's plan, He gave you that child for you to raise and not the government. Now, this is my preamble to this, and I'll make it special for this meeting here today. God expects of me and expects of Kathy, because we're one, and that's why if we argued, our prayers are hindered. All I got to do to stop Kathy's prayer from coming to pass is pick an argument with her, and it will shut it down. All she has to do to stop my prayers from coming to pass is to pick an argument with me, and it'll shut it down. Because you see, God looks at us exactly the same as Adam. Man, woe man. Look at some of the men. I should have stayed home, I know. But guys, I got to speak the truth. Moses has just passed on to his heavenly reward, and God talks to another man and gives him a mission, a destiny, a destination to be completed. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse, I want to start off with verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Then God reiterates it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. It was not a suggestion. It was a commandment. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. People have asked me, why have you been prosperous? Because I haven't turned to the left or to the right of the word of the Lord God. And I'm going to preach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, whether the United States Congress or any other country says I can or can't. And in some countries, I cannot speak some things. But if God tells me to preach out of Romans chapter 1 concerning sexuality, I don't care if I go to jail. Paul went to jail. Jesse will go to jail. I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm not preaching against anyone. I'm preaching against the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Keep reading. Then he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So if you don't think you have something to confess, start reading the Bible. But thou shalt meditate therein, or in there, day and night. And you thought only Sunday morning was enough. Oh, Lord, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Night and day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. Notice the word all, that is written therein. How many of you know what is all written in the Bible? Or do you just wait for some preacher to quote a scripture or read a passage? And you wonder why some people do not receive the fullness of what God says. This is destiny. This is destination. Now notice that he says that to do according to all that is written therein or in there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if you want to be prosperous and have good success, you have to know all, not some, all that is in this book, in this letter of the law. Then God says it again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Why? Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I refuse to have fear in my life. Fear is a lack of spirit strength. That's what fear is to me. It's a lack of spirit strength. He says, have not I commanded? He's not asking him. This is a command from God Almighty. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. I wish ministers would understand that God is not into your depression or your sadness. I don't know what I'm going to do. Shut up. God didn't want to hear all that junk to start with. He said, be not dismayed. I have been criticized because I haven't been depressed enough. I got people mad at me because I got the joy of the Lord. Well, I am walking in the Bible and I will not be dismayed. Are you seeing it? I have many opportunities to be dismayed, but I refuse to break the letter of the law. I'm under commandment and not suggestion. Remember the title of the sermon, Strength and Courage Knows No Gender. So I'm speaking to women, to all of us as the human race. He says, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Oh, I like that. Wherever you go. Now notice the next thing Joshua does in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded. He didn't ask. He picked up the word command just like he got the command from God Almighty. I want to talk tonight about strength and courage knows no gender. Write this down. As every Christian becomes more and more mature, there must be a larger absorption of truth and doctrine. Let me say it again. As every Christian becomes more and more mature, there must be a larger absorption of truth and doctrine. See, Joshua had only the law of Moses, but he kept it. I've got more than the law of Moses. I've got the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And if Joshua could keep his part, I've got to keep my part. So as I grow more in the Lord, I should not get more depressed, despondent, beat down, trying to look for some retirement somewhere. I should be absorbing the fullness of what God is, growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Now I do that with strength and courage. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't take it. I've had guns shot at me. I've had people try to stab me. I've had my microphones plugged into 220 lines that if I would touch them, I would be electrocuted. I mean, people have tried to kill me for many years, but I'm still here. I'm still here. And I'm under a command from God to do His word. So he told Joshua three different times. He repeated it. You must be strong and be very courageous. When you step out by faith, God is not looking for wimps. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm so excited about what God is doing in women today. Women that are preaching the gospel that I know, there are no wimps. I want to let you know, son, they'll get out the boat of religion and walk some water. Somebody shout, somebody. I love that. Oh, it's such a blessing. Let me say it again. As every Christian becomes more and more mature, there must be a larger absorption of truth and doctrine. God repeated it three times. Be strong and of good courage. So why? So that Joshua would not forget it. Now you got to understand, let me say it earlier. I said it earlier about myself. Joshua had no personal ambition other than to be a servant. You know, when I started in this ministry, I had no personal ambition to do anything but be a good church person. That's all I wanted to do. Now, I could play all these instruments, but I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to give other people chances. What I wanted to do was to learn the Word of God. Little did I realize that God was training me for His service. I had no personal ambition, and I love personal ambition because personal ambition has pushed some people to do some phenomenal things in the world today. But you see, when you have seen the best, when you've stood in the presence of God like I have, when you've heard the voice of the Lord, not only in my spirit, but with my physical ears, when you've had God place His hand on you, when the Lord has come and spoke to you personally, when God has taken you to heaven and brought you back. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no going back for me, Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen too much and it's too good. Somebody shout, somebody. That's growing in the knowledge of the truth. You can't tell me this faith doesn't work. You're too late. I've seen it work too many times. I mean, my God, I got a hard time getting sick. I've been around so many sick people and I've had them touch me, spit on me. And I mean, everything you could think of. And you know what? They got well and I stayed well. Glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, I made up my mind that I would use this strength and courage and refuse to be dismayed. Why? Because I am serving a vision. I am serving a destiny and I must reach my destination. And if I don't, then I might as well get out of here because God does not pick losers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My Lord, my Lord. So God repeated it three times. Be strong and of good courage so that Joshua would not forget it. Now think about that. How many times God has spoken over to me, do this, Jesse, do this. He's always asking me, what are we going to do today? I said, you don't know what we're going to do today? He said, well, you are my hands. You are my feet. You are my mouthpiece. What do you want to do? When I built this place, he said, I can do it any way you want to do it. I can pay it every month at the end of the month, or I can pay it off. What do you want me to do? I said, Lord, since we're talking, pay it off. He said, okay, and he paid it off. But the choice had to come from me, not from him. He had to find out what I could believe. Write this down. God can't do anything you can't believe. God can't do anything you can't believe, but God can do everything you can believe. Let me say it again. God can't do anything you can't believe. I don't care if it's spiritual, physical, or financial. He can't do it if you don't believe it. But God can do everything you can believe. Everybody say everything. Not this Christian wimpy, whammy, washed down doctrine. Sometime he does, sometime he don't. He will do everything you can believe. And girl, let me tell you something. If it wouldn't have been for women, my God, nobody would have ever met Jesus after he rose from the dead. Thank God somebody had some courage. Thank God somebody had some strength. Thank God that nobody got dismayed and Christianity was birthed in the world. My God. Ooh, Lord. People say, why do you work so much? Duty. Duty pulls me and compels me to complete my destiny and reach my destination. Write this down. Duty is the master key to life. Duty is the master key to life. And with every duty comes the power to do it. Every time God's ever gave me duty, I thought, how am I going to do this? But he always gave me the power to do it. You hear what I'm saying? And you think he can be tough? If the devil wouldn't have put the Apostle Paul in jail, he wouldn't have had enough time to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Is that a stupid devil? If he'd have kept him on the road again, can't wait to get on the road again, he wouldn't have ever had time to write Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I personally believe Hebrews, Philemon, that's Cajun, or Philemon, however you want to say it. Glory to God. He would not have had the time. But in the midst of a jail, most people would be bawling and squalling, not him. He was writing the holy canon of God as God breathed in him that wonderful life. So what are you saying? I'm saying duty is the master key to life. And with every duty comes the power to do it. Let me tell you something. God speaks to you. He's given you the ability to do it. Yeah, but that's your problem. You need to get your butt out the way. Now I can say but all I want. I founded this church. I made up my mind. So many people, but this, but that. I don't live in the Christianity of conjunction. I live this way, and the Lord said, and the Lord did, and I received. Are you hearing me? Oh, my heart. Say though, boy, I can preach this in the Holy Ghost right now. So that duty, why do you work? Duty. How do you do it? Strength and courage. How many times I've been so tired I could hardly stand up? One time I was on the plane and I have a flight attendant that flies on the plane with us, services and all that kind of stuff. She said, Mike, I was sitting on it, and she said, he fell asleep. I was waiting on the field. I was like a baby. You ever seen babies? Remember when you'd go feed your baby and they just, while eating, and they just head fell in the spaghetti. How many of y'all remember that? Remember that? Your babies ever did that? Babies are so wonderful. Do you know they can vomit and laugh at the same time? I used to see Jody do that to Kathy. Jody go, ah, and Jody was like rockets. Whoa! Just come out. I mean, it wasn't just a little dribble. Jody could hit you at 100 yards, boy. And Kathy would get it all over that blonde hair. And Jody go, ha, ha! Well, now she's going to be a mama. Payback! Payback's coming, Lord of God. But it didn't make no difference. Kathy had a duty to clean that girl. Why didn't you? Oh, I couldn't stand the smell. It make me throw up. Jody throw it up. I throw it up with it. She go, I go, ah. I say, Kathy, handle this. We didn't have all them little Pampers in those days. You could tell a newborn father. He always walked around like this. Sometimes you had to carry him in your car. Not me. I tied him to the bumper. I fertilized many interstates. Be strong and of good courage. What was Joshua looking at? Destiny. Destination. Going somewhere to do something and to complete it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And what pushed him to that point was his duty and honor just to be a servant of God. There's so many people ask me all the time, can you open this door for me? Sure. Without sounding prideful, I can open up a lot of doors for a lot of people. I said, I don't mind. I said, but you know, God said what he opens, no man shuts. What he shuts, no man's open. I can open it up for you, but it may slam me in the face. But if the Lord opened it for you, and if he wants to use me, he can use me. I said, but my God, you got to make sure you walk through the right door. Because if you don't, because what you're going to meet on the other side of that door, you don't want to meet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So duty is the master key to life. Write it down. And with every duty comes the power to do it. People say all the time, Brother Jesse, you don't seem like you ever get depressed. Jody said that to me. They said, Dad, you're always so strong. You know, we need to handle things. I have to. There's no other choice. The Lord, nowhere in the scripture, nowhere has God ever said, okay, Jesse, you can get sick. You can slow down. You can cry. Nothing wrong with crying. I've had a hard time with crying. Crying was not a part of my nature, other than when I was a baby, because they beat me. Probably deserved every bit of it, I guess. I don't know. I was such a heathen little baby. I don't ever remember not liking girls. My mama said, he liked girls too much. That boy, 5 years old. I wasn't stupid. I seen what them boys look like. I liked the girls. My brother, go fight. I said, I'm going to go play with the girls. They love me. Why? I was the only boy. That's all they could love. What keeps this thing moving? What keeps it functioning? I remember years and years ago, my great friend David Pizzamenti, who's now in heaven, he would come to me. He was on my board, and his wonderful wife at that time, and Kelly has taken his position. And you know, I said, Lord, we didn't want David to go, but we surely don't want Kelly to be sad. And the Lord sent a wonderful man to her. And she said, what do you think? I said, I got to check him out. I checked him out. His name is Jimmy. Nice fellow. Bless him. And when I saw her, she was happy. See, everybody has a right to be happy. But I never forget what he would tell me. He would say, you have such a cash flow. I said, what'd you say, David? Jesse, your cash flow. I said, well, cash is king. I said, David, I don't believe much in notes. I just like cash. Because there's something about cash that causes the anointing to come upon people. I mean, I've had people say, you can't buy that car for that price. And just pull out some cash. Somebody gonna take this. Is it you? Uh-huh. What? And people say, how do you do it? How do you keep it functioning? I'll tell you how. Write this down. Great emphasis and intensity must be applied. Let me say it again. Great emphasis and intensity must be applied to a simple, continuous, unswerving obedience. I do this not through my faith, but through my obedience. Let me say it again. Great emphasis and intensity must be applied to a simple, continuous, unswerving obedience. That's what made Joshua complete his destiny and reach his destination. That's what gave him that great strength and courage so that he was never dismayed until sin was found in the camp. It's simply called obedience. You've been trying to get that over to your kids. If they would just go do what you said, clean your room. That ain't hard. Pick up something. We'll pass out. Just pick up something. Kathy's all over my case. I thought, how come you throw your clothes on the floor? Because you will pick it up. Oh, look at these women. How? And then we start arguing. How come you hang your bra on the doorknob? Look at all these women. Come on, men, help me out here. Ho, 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 ho. Do you know how much underwear I got to go through before I can get to the shower? Hang all that underwear in them hotels. And if somebody, if I order room service, Jesse, close that door. I don't want nobody to see my underwear. It don't seem for me, mind me to see it. Why do you hang that bra on that doorknob? Because it aggravates you. So I said, let's cut a deal here. I'm going to make you an offer you don't refuse. I pick up the clothes. You take the bra off. What do you think? And get rid of them drawers off that line. Look at Kathy. Tomorrow I preach. It's your time then. Which brings me to my next point of my message. I'm finished. Bye. No. Strength and courage is needed in, write it down. Strength and courage is needed in, number one, the hour of confession. What will you say? The hour of temptation. What will you do? The hour of misfortune. How will you react? The hour of death. How will you rise above? You see, because you see, everything I just said is in your destiny and in your destination. Strength and courage knows no gender. Let me say it again. Strength and courage is needed in one, the hour of confession. What will you say? When a doctor says you're gonna die, like he told Peter Haddon, you got 2 months to live, you're gonna die. Well, no, you don't understand. I have to run the New York Marathon. You can't run the New York Marathon. You're gonna die. And that was 7 years ago. No, no, let me tell you what I confess. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. If God be for me, who could be against me? If God took my infirmity, I don't want it. If he bore my sickness, I don't need it. What will you say in your hour of confession? You get mad at me for confessing? How do you think you got married? Huh? When that priest, if you're from New Orleans, everybody been Catholic at least once. You think I'm kidding you? If you've been Catholic at least once, stand up. Show them. Look at this. Be seated. Son, we can put a Hail Mary on you real fast, son. Talk to us, son. Our Father. We make the sign of the cross. Boom. Strength and courage is needed in that hour of confession. What will you say? What will you say? I've had God say, what will you say to me, Jesse Duplantis? I'll say, I will repeat your words, Lord. My covenant will I not break. Nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. I say what you say. That's my hour of confession. I had a man so mad at me not long ago. He was going through some terrible time with his body. And I can understand that. He said, are you telling me to say I'm healed when I am sick? I said, I'm not dealing with your am sick. I'm dealing with your word healed. If I can get you to focus on your word healed, like you focusing on your am sick, I will get rid of your am sick with your word healed. What will you say in your hour of confession? It's going to take strength and courage because it's a battle. We have a wonderful couple here going through a major battle in this church. We hadn't forget, we're praying and believing God. And buddy, the treatments to some of this stuff is worse than the disease. But what will you say? What strength and courage will you use in your hour of confession? Let's go to the next part. What will you say or what will you do in your hour of temptation? Who is your Delilah? Is your Delilah a woman? Or is your Delilah a man? Don't shout me down. Is your Delilah money? Who's your Delilah? Strength and courage is needed in the hour of temptation. What do you do? I can't help myself. Honey, I'm sorry. Love means you're never having to say you're sorry. God didn't say that. A movie said that in 1970 something. What do I do, brother? You know, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? I've had my hours of temptation. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I'm talking about girls. I ain't talking about no sweat hog. I'm talking some fine looking women. I ain't talking about women with a tramp stamp on their butt. I'm talking about some fine looking women. But look at Kathy. Oh, Jesus. That's what I heard the other day. I first heard they call him. I said, what is that? What do you do in that hour of temptation? I'll tell you what I did. I'm talking about girls. I could be their daddy. And I know why they're making a hit on me. They think I got money. They're right. They're right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy's money. And she ain't giving it to no little hussy. Hussies, don't get around Kathy. What do you do in your hour of temptation? Strength and courage. You know, even Peter said that when you add strength, people thought he should have said add virtue. He said, no, be very courageous, add courage. Courage. I am the king of the forest. Now, Peter, you don't know nothing that is because you're from Germany. How many of y'all know what that is? The Wizard of... I am the king of the forest. Ain't no woman gonna do what I'm gonna do. Courage. Courage. What do you do in your hour of temptation? Because I want to tell you something. It will take strength and courage. And it may be repeated to you several times so you don't forget it. You've heard me say this before in other messages. I had a minister one time. He said, Brother Jesse, can I speak? Can I talk to you for a second? I said, yes, sir. He said, follow me. So we started walking. He kept walking. I said, where are we going, brother? Just come on. Come on. Come on over here. Over here. Oh, I said, what's the problem? He says, I got lust in my life. Lust, lust, lust. What should I do? I said, tell your wife. She'll stop it. Courage. Oof. Courage. He said, oh, I can't do that. I said, I'm going to tell her. No, don't tell her. I said, man, I'm trying to save your ministry, save your family, save you. Your problem is not the temptation. It's your problem is you don't have the strength and the courage to know what to do during the temptation. That's why God kept coming back at this man. That's why I'm saying strength and courage knows no gender. Because it's happening just as much on the female side as it is on the man's side. What will you do in the hour of misfortune? Because many people have misfortune. There's a devil out there trying to get rid, trying to grab your fortune with a misfortune. How will you react? God did not answer me. God did this. Ah, now you took sides with the devil to be the accuser. You had no strength and no courage. It was God. Why does God allow all that? Because he does not have authority here. He's given all the works of his hand to the dominion of man. It's your position to take care of these things. You want to stop world hunger? Let me help you all over the world. Let me tell you how you stop world hunger. You quit making food a commodity. You quit making oil at $90 a barrel a commodity. You make oil, which is energy, and food, which is energy, also necessities. And if you look at them and take them off the stock market, if you take them off all that stuff, you don't sell it, you don't make it a commodity, you make it a necessity. World hunger stops. That's what you do. But oh, there's too much money in that. I understand that. What will you do in your hour of misfortune? I've had misfortune. I've had the devil fight me, say evil things about me. I've been shot at. You name it. All kinds of, I don't like that. My own security, and I got them here. They say, you are a security's worst nightmare. You like Gerald Ford. You just go run right slap in the middle of the crowd. Y'all remember Gerald Ford? You know, he's the one that fell down all the time. But he was the only president that could put a nation back together when everybody was sad, sick, and disgusted. You got to think about that for a minute.
Well, they shouldn't have pardoned Nixon.
Well, you don't know. You've never been in his shoes. You ever heard of forgiveness? Well, we lost a few right there, didn't we? I'm not trying to be political. And all these people are always criticizing the president, and they've never been a president. It's like a man try to criticize a woman. He ain't never been a woman. Some have tried. That's all I'm going to say about that. Don't tell me I don't know what I am. Life is not like a box of chocolates. You know what you're going to get. I had a homosexual man tell me that one time. He says, I was born that way. Now, don't write me no ugly letter, because I'm not against you. I don't fight anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth, what God said. I was born that way. I said, no, you weren't. Yes, I was. I said, check your equipment. Your equipment will tell you who you are. If you're too stupid to figure that out. That's all I'm going to say about that. And the reason for it, Kathy's going, strength and courage is needed in the hour of misfortune. How will you react when it didn't work out the way you thought? So you let a delay, you thought a delay was a denial. You thought waiting on the Lord was a time of testing when it should have been a time of fellowship. And then finally, strength and courage is needed in the hour of death. None of you have experienced that. Not yet. You may have got close to it sometimes. But when Mr. Death comes, because if Jesus tarries, he will come. And what God calls him? An enemy. What will you do? What strength and courage is needed in the hour of death? How will you rise above it? Let me tell you how I will. If that comes, I will have a good death. I will choose it. I am the architect of my life. Who do you think you are? What this Bible says, death, put the camera by my face right here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not of cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or crippling arthritis or any other thing. Well, what about the people that were believing God and they died? You don't know what they said at that point.
you ever get a glimpse of heaven, you ain't coming back to Destrehan. Now that may not be good English, but that's prophetic. So strength and courage is needed in the hour of confession. What will you say? The hour of temptation. What will you do? The hour of misfortune. How will you react? The hour of death. How will you rise above it? I will rise above it. I love what Jesus said. Father, into your hands commit my spirit. I come. He proved the scripture. Crucifixion didn't kill it. Let me say this, write it down. God has great courage when you are confused and great strength when you get into fear. God has great courage when you are confused, and sometimes you are, and great strength when you get into fear. Because some people get into fear. People get mad at me because I don't believe in fear. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It's here. Oh, and I've had it running over my head, but I never let it get in me. I've had it running over my head, ladies and gentlemen, during Hurricane Katrina. It was running over my head. Many that were here, you know what I'm talking about. But it didn't get in me. What would happen if you'd lost the church? I'd rebuild it. That's not the issue. I just don't want to rebuild it because I know how insurance companies are. Now, I'm not being just critical. I'm just being truthful.
Was it destroyed by the water or was it destroyed by the wind? Who cares, fool? It don't exist no more.
I don't need no road home money. I need some insurance money to come home. Now, what keeps me in this strength and courage? Write it down. The secret of this miracle of strength and courage is knowing that God is always near. Let me say it again. The secret of this miracle of strength and courage is knowing that God is always near. He may be unseen to others, but he is visible to you. I've had some people say, you are so crazy. Because see, he was unseen to them, but he was visible to me, Derek. When I walked out on this piece of grass, nothing but trees, he was visible. He walked with me in the grass and the mosquitoes. No one could see it. It was invisible to them, but it was visible to me. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. Then I realized I wasn't supposed to. It wasn't my job to pay for it. It was my job to believe for it. Y'all just missed it right there. I just took tons of pressure off if you accept that by faith. It's not your job to pay for it. That dome you're going to build in La Place, Steve, that's not your job to pay for it. That's your job to believe for it. Brother Mays, the same thing. Whatever you want to do, ain't your job to pay for it. It's your job to believe for it. Buddy, when you understand that, you talk about I can breathe free. So let me say it again. So you are writing it down. The secret of this miracle of strength and courage is knowing that God is always near. He may be unseen to others, but he's visible to you. And you know, every time the devil tries to depress me, I just remember the past. All the times God said and God did. Write this down. Reverence for the past is good. But we must recognize the divine present. You know what I'm saying? I think about the good things, but I recognize the divine present. Let me say it again. Reverence for the past is good, but we must recognize the divine present. The other day I was in a car and man, I had about it turned out to be an hour and a half drive because of traffic. I'd flown into Washington, D.C., preached for a wonderful man. I felt so intimidated standing by this pastor. I'm 5'7". He was 6'8". He said, are you okay? I said, yeah, the air is real clear down here. Wonderful man, wonderful church. Well, I was driving back. He said, Brother Jesse, if you don't want me to talk, I won't say a word. I said, no, I'm not the kind of preacher that I'm so holy that you can't speak to me. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I like people. You didn't have to come here tonight. You came because you wanted to and you honored us by coming. I thank you. You that are watching by the internet all over the world, you honored us. You didn't have to, but you did. See, reverence for the past is good, but we must recognize the divine present. He said, have you had a lot of jobs? I said, oh man, I had some jobs. I was a grass cutter when I was 6. I was a soda jerk when I was 12. You know what a soda jerk is? Every drugstore in America had a soda fountain with pretty girls sitting at it. That's why I wanted that job. Make sodas and milkshakes and stuff like that. Malts. You don't see much of that anymore. I've been a bank teller. I didn't like it because I was always touching other people's money. I wanted my own money. I was a tacker. I never could be a welder because I stuck a welding rod into the welder's eye and it ignited. Because I happened to hit the iron at the same time. She sparked, Ricky. You should have seen that. I knew that was not my profession. I became a rock entertainer, a rocker, long chocolate brown hair. Doing Kathy going, ah! She says, I'm a legend in my own mind. This is my script and my movie. I put what I want in it. I said, but young man, let me tell you something. I've never worked for anybody finer than God. No. Anybody finer. Now write this down. Knowing yourself and your capacity to believe. Write it down. Knowing yourself and your capacity to believe assures you more hopefulness. And with this growing hopefulness comes growing courage. If you want courage to grow, you gotta have more than faith. You gotta have hope. Let me say it again. Knowing yourself and your capacity to believe assures you more hopefulness. And with this growing hopefulness comes growing courage. I know my capacity. I know myself. And it causes my courage to grow. It assures it. Are you getting that? Let me say this again. Write this down. And I'll go over it in a minute. As your years of life increases, so do your responsibilities. Why? Because you're more capable and accountable. Why? How come grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and can seem to get things done quicker than other people? Don't get all bent out of shape. Because see, in those years of growing older, they became more capable and accountable. Let me say it again. As your years of life increase, so do your responsibilities. Why? Because you're more capable and accountable. God said a good man makes an inheritance for his children's children. So as I grow older, my responsibilities grow deeper and bigger. And I'm more accountable to them. Let me say the first point again. Knowing yourself and your capacity to believe assures you more hopefulness. And with this growing hopefulness comes growing courage. Every day, I'm growing, but I'm becoming more capable. I'm becoming more accountable. So as your years of life increase, so do your responsibilities, because you're more capable and accountable. It's amazing. You know, I have an intercontinental jet. Are y'all enjoying this tonight? We might hold you too long. I have an intercontinental jet. Thank God I paid for it. Our first responders, our partners helped us fly all over the world. Every once in a while, I'll have a guest on my plane. They'll come with me, like Pastor Steve Allen. Marilyn's been on there. Mike and Elaine, Mele, and they'll come on there. Now, Mike Mele, he's a trip. I like Mike. I've had Brett Green, have you flown on mine? I think you have, haven't you? I don't know if you've flown. I've owned 3 jets, so I don't know if you've flown this last one or not. But yeah, I love Mike Mele. Number one, he's a Sicilian. And he married a Cajun. Now, is that something? Mike would get on the plane. I said, what would you like to eat? No, what up? I said, no, just pick it. He said, you know, I love this plane. I'm believing God for your plane. He said, this is a beautiful plane. I said, yes. Now, people say, he shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't he? That blesses me. Because I know if he gets my plane, I'm going to get Delta's plane.
I'm gonna get American Airlines plane. I'm gonna get Southwest's plane, but I ain't gonna paint it orange. I don't have it orange. I have no problem with that. I love faith and vision. I've had Steve Allen say the same thing. I tell you what now. When you get rid of this one here, talk to me. I like that. I like that. That's good. See, that's venturing out. When everybody says, are you crazy? Which brings me to my next point. Shrink not from venturing out. Shrink not from venturing out. Your best lessons, if you heed them, could come from your mistakes. Even in my mistakes, through knowledge and wisdom, with the devil trying to trip me up and destroy me, I increased in wisdom and knowledge. Because I had the guts to venture out. Ladies, that's one thing I can say about women. My God, women are amazing. It's hard to get men together. But women are just get it together. They just do it. I heard Pastor Cho said it wouldn't have been for his mother-in-law. He wouldn't have had anything. She the one built that prayer mountain. But women, boy, you get violent. Women are volunteering real quick. There's men going, what would I do? I don't do that. Let me say it again. Venturing out. Or shrink not from venturing out. Your best lessons, if you heed them, could come from your mistakes. I've learned some great things in my mistakes. Now, let me make this announcement. Oral Roberts, Chancellor Oral Roberts, I know him very well. He's 89 years old. I talked to him the other day on the phone. He said something to me a few years ago I just had a hard time accepting. He said, you know, Jesse. I said, yes, sir, Chancellor Roberts. Don't call me. Call me Oral. I said, okay, Chancellor Roberts. He said, my name's Oral. I said, okay, Chancellor Roberts. I guess you're not going to call me Oral. No, Chancellor Roberts, I'm not going to call you Oral. But you know you can. I know I can, but I will not. He says, why? I said, I respect you. He said, I'm your friend. I said, I know Chancellor Roberts. Oral. I said, that's what I said, Chancellor Roberts. Then he said something that shocked me. He said, you know, Jesse, I've never made a mistake in my life. I almost called him Oral. I almost said, what'd you say, Oral? But I didn't. He said, I guess you would like me to explain that statement. I said, if you please. Let me say my point again. Shrink not from your venturing out. Your best lessons, if you heed them, could come from your mistakes. He said, Jesse, I never got up in the morning and said, today, I'm going to make a mistake. But I got up a lot of mornings and things I did turned into mistakes. But I never got up and purposely said, today, I'm going to make a mistake. He said, but a lot of times I got up and did things that turned into mistakes. He says, have I qualified that for you? I said, yes, sir, Chancellor Roberts. You see, what he was saying in the midst of those mistakes, he learned from them. Now, he never got up. It'd be kind of dumb if you got up today and said, today, I'm going to crash my car. Why? I don't know. I just feel like making a mistake. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? You see, and so many people talk about faith, but they always talk about it from the boat. And if you stay in the boat of religion, you only meet disciples. You get out on the water, you're going to meet Jesus. I got out of the boat. I stay out of the boat. I stay on the water. Because everything around them people in that boat's over their head. But everything around me is under my feet. There's more safety in the water than there is the boat. Let me say this in close. We belong to two worlds. Write it down. We belong to two worlds. Is the reaction of God's influences which ministers to our vital progress. Let me say it again. We belong to two worlds. Two worlds. It is the reaction of God's influences which ministers to our vital progress. What do you mean, two worlds? I affected today what happened in heaven. Heaven affected me today what happened on the earth. Because what I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth. So I'm working in two economies, two parallel universes, two worlds. That's why God could say, command. That's a strong word for religious people to say. Command ye me concerning my word, because you will affect heaven and what will happen in heaven by what you do on this planet. That's why strength and courage knows no gender. If a woman says it, if a man says it, if a child says it, it can turn an angel around in heaven and move him to somewhere else, and vice versa. Don't realize the power of who you are. You were not created as servants. You were created as sons and daughters that serve. Let me say it again. We belong in two worlds. It is the reaction of God's influences which ministers to our vital progress. I'm forever progressing, Pastor David, in my thinking, in my thoughts. I try to proclaim preaching. I got to preaching a while ago real hard. I said, and the Lord said, pull back. You're proclaiming. Start explaining. Because you see, if you don't apply this, it's of none effect. And it's of no effect. Application is the key to these things. I'm constantly. See, preaching should never supersede thought. It should make you think. Now, let me help you with this. If you become a spiritual father, as the Lord directs, as you grow older, you become what? More accountable, more capable. The people you teach. Ron, if you teach a Bible study, then the people you teach should become greater than you. Now, nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. They don't want that. No, no. I'm the man. I'm the one. I am. No, no. If you understand scripture, when you proclaim the gospel and you explain the gospel, it should generate such spiritual growth that this should surpass you. Example? How powerful was Moses? But he never went to the promised land. But he put enough in that boy, Joshua. Who didn't want to do none of that to bring him over. Moses got close enough to see it, but Joshua lived in it. So, Steve Allen, you're going to build something bigger than I've ever built because you're my son. It's got to come to pass. It has to. If I am worth anything spiritually, and to all those that are under my ministry, that submit to the authority of me and my ministry through the presence of God, I should be able to put into you that your growth, whether you're in ministry or not, you should supersede it. Because that's what the gospel does. My good friend Billy Brim, who has a wonderful prayer mountain up in Branson, Missouri. We love Billy, me and Kathy. Billy, she says something. But I heard something out of her heart because she was so close to Kenneth Hagin, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And when he went home to be with the Lord, just as he said he would, the way he wanted to, after he'd eat breakfast, he's going to sit down and go home and be with the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. And I never forget when we heard the news
And we went to the minister's conference at Brother Kenneth Copeland's. Billy was invited to say a few words. She says, Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin has gone home. What are we going to do? He was such a prophet. This man would prophesy. You better hear what he said, buddy. You talk about accurate. Well, Billy, if you're watching, I got this today. I've thought about that all the time because I know you're a powerful woman of God. And I know you can handle anything come your way. That's not the issue. But you had such a love for Brother Hagin. He was your hero. It's good to have heroes. I give you this statement. Heroes may pass away, but the power that made them will remain forever. Heroes may pass away, but the power that made them will remain forever. Remember, the destiny and the destination is always bigger than the person. The mission, the presidency of the United States is always and will always be bigger than the person that occupies that office. But just because they occupy it and just because you have freedom of speech, you ought to use a little politeness too and give honor to whom honor's due, whether you agree or disagree. You understand what I'm saying? See, so the heroes may pass away, but the power that made them will remain. So that's what I pray for, ladies and gentlemen, for this covenant church, for this ministry called Jesse the Planner's Ministries, for all you partners. I pray, Lord, make them richer. They must become more prosperous than me. What I say should spark such revelation for the next generations. And if Jesus comes, they'll teach it in heaven. Because you see, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I will not stop being a minister when I get to heaven. You will be at some of my meetings. I will be at some of yours. Now, that's the difference between me and a lot of other people. Because I am like a Joshua. I never wanted to do any of this. But the Lord put me in the ministry. And if he puts me in the ministry, no one can take me out. No one. Nothing. And if Jesus tarries, and I go by that grave, I will ask for an accounting in heaven. How did my sons do? How did my daughters do? And I know God will say, they went beyond, Jesse, what you could ask a thing. That's what Jesus put in his 12 disciples. The 12 disciples did more for Christianity in terms of the works than Christ did. And Jesus said, go do the work that I do, do it greater. Because he wasn't jealous. He wasn't envious. Do you see that? And all you ministers, you want to rise? You want this? The way to go up is to go down. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. Strength and courage knows no gender. I expect it to happen. I expect it. My daughter and my son-in-law would do greater than things than I've ever done. I've prayed for it. I'm not talking about being, they can do whatever they want to do. It don't have to be in this, but they will supersede me. They're supposed to. That's the way it works. But I'm going to get an accounting in heaven. How they doing? What they doing, Lord? Would you like to see? Yeah. Did you enjoy it tonight?